We're right in the middle of a very intense series, and today we're going to be speaking to you about heavenly things. Amen. You have to have ears to hear this. Okay, so I'm just going to review a minute, go to Zechariah chapter 4. Now I'm going to give you some fancy terminology today, like the seven spirits of God and the seven eyes of the Lord, seven horns of the Lord. This terminology is found in the book of Revelation. When you hear me say seven spirits of God, we're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about his ministry and the perfection of his ministry. He is the seven spirits of God. When you hear seven spirits of God, it's speaking of the Holy Spirit directly. In fact, the first chapter of Revelation in John's salutations, he says, greetings from him who was, whom is, and is to come. That was the Father. From the seven spirits of God, which was the Holy Spirit, and from Jesus Christ. He mentions all three of them in his salutation, and he terms the Holy Spirit as the seven spirits of God. So you just need to know that when we get into that. Amen? All right, so Zechariah chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. This is a prophecy given to Zerubbabel. We looked at last week, he was given several prophecies. He was given a prophecy in Haggai chapter 2 about the glory of the latter-day house being greater than the former. And he spoke about a shaking of the nations, and he'd bring silver and gold into his house. Silver is mine, the gold is mine, the glory of the latter-day house would be greater than the former. Well, all of these prophecies is Zerubbabel in this particular chapter, this lampstand, this also is a prophecy when you understand what it means. But it was never fulfilled in his day, and it wasn't fulfilled in the early church either. These were latter-day prophecies. And how do you know that? Because he actually says it in Zechariah 4, that Zerubbabel would bring forth the headstone. That was not the cornerstone, the foundation stone. It was the final stone. You had two stones in the temple. You had the cornerstone, which was the foundation stone. Then you had the headstone, capstone. He said he'd bring forth the capstone. His prophecies were for the last days, for the latter rain. All that was being said in Zechariah 4 was for another day. Amen? And it's for our day, because all of his prophecies are picked up in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. And the book of Revelation is very clear. A lot of people don't even like to approach that book because it deals with, you know, judgment and wrath of God and tribulation. But that's definitely a major part of it. But the first part of the book of Revelation is actually a very good part. It's God's marking out a revival, a glory that's coming, an unprecedented glory that's coming up on the earth. And we're going to look at that today in great detail again. Amen. Hallelujah. He said unto me, what seest thou? And he said, I've looked, and behold, a candlestick of gold with a bowl. Remember that bowl right there? It was made of gold on top of it, and seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes of the seven lamps, which are upon thereof, and the two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the candlestick, one upon the left side. He said, this is the word of the Lord. He said, he called this the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. You talk about Zerubbabel laying the foundation of the house. He said, he goes, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, or before this word, before this lampstand, he goes, you'll become leveled ground, and he'll bring forth the headstone of the final temple, crying grace, grace unto the mountains. The headstone is going to be laid in our generation. Hallelujah. This is the final generation. It's a capstone generation. It's the final. Say, it's the final one. And God has a lot to say about this generation. He actually picks up this lampstand in the book of Revelation. And we're going to go and review just a moment, because we'll go to Revelation chapter 4. He actually begins this in Revelation chapter 1, but we don't have time. But the revelation in the lampstand is multi-purpose. It's multi-dimensional. There has many layers. It's multi-layered. It's not just one thing. For instance, he calls the seven spirits of God in the book of Revelation. He said Christ was dwelling in the midst of the lampstand. And he said the lampstand was the seven churches. Amen. But then he shifts in chapter 4. He's going to show you that the lampstand shifted from the seven churches to another revelation. It's now the seven spirits of God. So the lampstand represents the church. It also represents the Holy Spirit. It also represents a global harvest. We're going to look at it today. So you need to know all that. When you start shifting here, we're going to pick it up in chapter 4 for the sake of time. So chapter 4, verse 1. And he says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. He's talking about a major move of God that's coming up on the earth, and he prophesies in the book of Revelation. He'd be careful what you hear about the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation cannot be discerned with a natural mind. It's heavenly things. It has to be discerned by the Spirit. It needs to be taught by the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things you can learn about the book of Revelation with a mind, but I'm going to tell you, you get too heady mind with your mind in the book of Revelation, you're going to start reading a lot of things that are not there. That book is spiritually discerned, and the Holy Spirit has to teach it. Amen? Praise the Lord. He knows how to teach His Word. Glory to God. After this, I look, and behold, the door was open. And the first voice which I heard was that as were a trumpet talking with me and said, come up hither, I will show you things to come hereafter. So John's on the island of Patmos, and he gets called up into heaven. He sees something for another day, for another aspect of the church, another movement. Of course, he's going to see the final judgments in the earth, but he's also going to see something preceding those judgments. And that's what we're going to look at today. In verse 5, look at what he sees. He says, out of the throne proceed lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire. Say, seven lamps of fire. Burning before the throne. Now, he saw the seven lamps before in chapter 1, and it said, this is the mystery of the seven lamps. It's the seven churches, but now he calls the seven lamps of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. He's seeing the person of the Holy Spirit now. Seven spirits of God in the lamps of fire. Because the lamps represent a multiple revelation. It's multidimensional because it's actually a move of God that's coming to come on the earth. So he said he sees the seven lamps of fire. He says, which are the seven spirits of God. A better way to say it, he sees this lampstand that was prophesied in Zechariah 4. And he sees it as the person of the Holy Spirit, or the fullness or the perfection of the Holy Spirit's ministry. He sees it. He said these seven lamps are burning because we're time we get to chapter 5, he's seeing these seven lamps come down into the earth. So we progress to chapter 5 now, and this chapter has really been unfolding even since Wednesday night in a brand new dimension. So Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, he's progressing. You really, really ought to take chapter and verse out of chapter 4, 5, and 6. In other words, don't read them as chapter 4, verse. Just read 4, 5, and 6 as one thought, because it never changes. At least a half of 6, it's all one continuous flow. Shouldn't have been divided by chapters and verses. So really, chapter 5 is chapter 4. Amen? It says, so I saw, verse 1, at the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And no man could come forth. And John was kind of in intercession. He was weeping because no man could open this book. And all of a sudden they speak. They find someone that can open the book. Amen. And it's just amazing what they see upon him now. Watch this. It's very important. He's going to open this book, and you got to understand what's in this book. There's seven seals in this book. The one we're most interested in is seal number one. Amen. Verse 6. He says, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. So he stands up now. There stood a lamb. Now notice what it says about him. It's very important you understand this. Stood a lamb as it had been slain. Now he has seven horns. Say it, seven horns, seven eyes. Now John is seeing something upon the lamb. It's not a lamb walking around seven horns. You have to understand the imagery is what's being said here. It's the Holy Spirit, because what does it say the seven horns and the seven eyes are? Which are the seven spirits of God. He said he sees seven horns and seven eyes over the lamb. Now this is the one that's going to open the seals. He goes, and these seven horns and the seven eyes are the seven spirits of God. The same seven spirits of God in chapter 4. This is all the seven candlesticks, or the seven lampstands, the seven torches. Now he sees, first he sees the Holy Spirit as the seven torches. But now he sees the Holy Spirit with seven horns and seven eyes resting upon this lamb that's going to open these seals. You got to understand what's happened. He's anointed to commission what's about to happen. It's very important we understand what's inside of that, praise the Lord. Now these seven horns, or the perfection, you have to understand what horns mean. Horns means kings or kingdoms. They anointed kings with a horn of oil. David was anointed with a horn of oil. Solomon anointed with a horn of oil. Antichrist was described as a horn. And he had 10 horns with him. Those are kings or kingdoms. Well, here Christ has 7 horns resting over him. What that means, it's the perfection of his kingly anointing. And the Holy Spirit's resting over him in the perfection of the kingly anointing. But it's also resting upon him with 7 eyes, which is the perfection of the priestly anointing. Hallelujah. So what we see is a king-priest government resting upon him. He said he's worthy to open these seals, and he comes forth to open the seals. It's this lamb that has the 7 horns and the 7 eyes. He's carrying something when he opens these seals. It's very important because he's going to open that dimension and that operation. Verse 7, and he came and took the book. Now, I'm going to talk to you intercessors just for a minute. This is very powerful. He came and took the book out of the right hand who him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, notice this, and golden bowls full of incense. Golden bowls full of incense. You see that? Which is the prayers of the saints. Now you have to understand what's going on. They're all in intercession. Everybody, the elders are in intercession. John's in intercession. Everybody's wanting this lamb to come forth to open this seal. It's time to open this book. Whatever's in this book, it's time. So the Lamb comes forth and says, he's the one worthy to open this book. He's got 7 horns and 7 eyes. The Holy Spirit's resting upon him to open this book. And he comes forth and says, the elders have collected the prayers of the saints on the earth. These are not just normal prayers. They're collecting, it's incense. It's people that have been connected. They're seeing what's going on in heaven and earth. They understand where the body of Christ is. They understand what God's about to do. They're making the proper intercession. They're mixing it up in the bowl, and it's coming up into incense, and the elders are collecting the incense. It's the prayers, specific prayers of people that are in alignment with heavenly things, not earthly things. They understand what God's doing. It's a bridal company that's seeing the glory that is to come. They're seeing what God's about to do. They know the land's about to open the seal, and they're making the intercession for it. They got dunamis power working in them. They have the word working in them. They're in alignment with the things of the kingdom of God. They're in alignment with heavenly things, not earthly things. These are not earthly prayers. They are prayers prayed from the earth, but it's in alignment. It's specific incense. And the Lamb is collecting the incense. See, he's waiting for the incense so he can open the book. He's not going to open the book without the prayers of the saints. All heaven and earth is merging here. It's the final showdown of all things. And though it does bring the wrath of God upon the earth, there's something that precedes that. And this is what the elders are looking at. They know. They're looking at the last day move of God. The Holy Spirit's already resting upon the Lamb with the 7 horns and the 7 eyes. There's a brand new movement that's coming. It's a kingly movement and a priestly movement together. It's the 2 olive trees. Emptying the golden oil. In fact, the elders begin to sing a song. They say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He's been made under our God. Kings and priests who are going to reign in the earth. The elders begin to decree there's going to be a company, a bridal company of kings and priests, and they're about to reign on the earth. Open the seal. Open the seal. They weren't looking for the judgments. They were looking for the move of God. They wanted the 7 horns that were resting upon Christ and the 7 eyes, the Holy Spirit, because what did it say? He said there were 7 horns and there were 7 eyes resting upon him. And he said, these are the 7 spirits of God that are sent forth into all the earth. Whatever was on him was about to be released into all the earth because John's seeing things to come. And they see the 7 horns and 7 eyes that accompany that Holy Spirit that's resting upon the Lamb. When he opens this book, that anointing that's resting upon him is coming down upon the bridal company. And they see kings and priests reigning. There's going to be a time before the body of Christ is lifted from the earth that a company of kings and priests are going to reign with God in the earth. God's going to do more in this generation. He's going to do it in a very short time in a very powerful move. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 10. They were singing a song in verse 9. They're still singing. Verse 10. And you made unto our God kings and priests. We're going to reign in the earth. They see the final bridal company reigning. They see it. They're singing the song. They've collected the saints. There is a company of believers in the earth that are in sync with heaven. They're carrying the vials of incense. The Lamb has the incense. He's taking the book from him that sits upon the throne. He's going to open that seal. When he does, heaven's coming for. Not hell first, heaven. And I heard, verse 11, the voice of many angels around about the throne and the beast and the elders, and number them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands, saying, worthy is the Lamb to have received power. You know, I don't know if he got this when he ascended, which I've been preaching forever, or when he took that book. Because when he took that book, they're singing, worthy is the Lamb that has received the power and the riches and the wisdom and the strength, the honor and the glory and the blessing. He receives this sevenfold inheritance. He receives it. Like when he takes the book, it's like the Father gives him this for a special generation. Because those seven inheritances are about to get released into the earth. And he receives them up on behalf of this bridal company that's about to rule and reign with him. Now, I want to say something. I'm not of the doctrine that the bridal company is going to take over the world. They're going to give it a season to reign. A season of testimony. That's going to testify to the marketplace. That's going to testify that he's king. That's why the seven horns represented. Testify he's savior of the world. They're going to testify with power and demonstration. He is the apostle and high priest. They're going to bring testimony to the world. But they're going to have power. We're going to watch this here in a minute. They're going to have major power. The bridal company. That's you and me. Amen. Lots been prophesied about that. Everybody knows it's coming. The book of Revelation has marked it. Amen. So they're sinking. Heaven and earth is sinking. How do you know? They're not sinking as S-I-N-K. They're sinking. They're connecting. Praise the Lord. It's time for the body of Christ to be connected in sync. In harmony with what God's doing. Because that's the kind of prayers that are being collected by the elders. Some of your prayers are being collected by their elders. That's how close we are right now. Verse 13. And every creature of all creation which is in heaven and earth. Look at that, heaven and earth. And under the earth, such as in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power. There are some people on the earth that saw what God was doing and they were joining in with a heavenly chorus saying, glory to God! It's happening! Glory to God! The Lamb is worthy to open the seals! Let's get the show on the road! That's what they're saying! There's a bridal company that's synced up! Connected up! They're shouting from the earth. They're shouting from heaven. Heaven and earth are now together. God's got a company of people that see what he's doing. I only do what I see my Father doing. We must see what God's doing. We need to see through the Word. The Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I know some of you have heard a lot about the book of Revelation. You've been taught. A lot of times your opinion has been formed by somebody that taught you. Now, I'll venture into this, and I just want you to take what you've been pre-taught, what you've been taught, and put it on a shelf for a minute. And let me just show you another viewpoint. Boy, when you start venturing into the book of Revelation, people like to get the swords out. But let me show you, because Scripture backs up Scripture, amen? And the Holy Ghost not going to venture into something. Not with us. If you understand the way we teach, when the Holy Ghost teaches something, he teaches it multi-layered, amen? Revelation 6. Now, if you took Revelation 6 and took chapter 6 and made it a part of chapter 4, made it chapter 5, they're all in intercession in chapter 5. They're ready for the Lamb. He's got the seven horns, the seven eyes upon him. Heaven and earth is synced. They've collected the prayers. Now he's getting ready to open the seals. They're not all happy. They're not rejoicing up there because judgment's coming, but they're looking at that first seal because that first seal is a little bit different than the other ones. Chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Now remember, this is the Lamb that had the Holy Spirit resting upon him with seven horns and seven eyes. He had that kingly authority and the priestly authority. He's ready to open the seals. What he's doing, he's about to commission something. That's why it was resting upon him like that. He was about to commission a bridal company of kings and priests. He was also going to commission the end times. But watch what happens here. There's four horses are going to come out of these first four seals. It came a lamb and opened the seals and heard, as it was, noise of thunder. Thunder. The only one that said noise of thunder is the first seal. There wasn't no thunder after that. There's a lot of woes. But the thunder came in the first seal. And one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse. Say white horse. And he that sat upon him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering to conquer. Now. A lot of variation of who this white horse should be. Some said it was the white horse of Revelation 19 when the Lord came in the final judgment, the battle of Armageddon, rode in the white horse. But it couldn't be because the three horses that follow, the first one's war, the second one's famine, the third one's death and hell. At the battle of Armageddon, none of that follows. He comes and throws the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire alive. So it can't be that horse. The other thought is that this is the Antichrist horse, that he comes, and why would he come in a white horse? Because he comes as a diplomat. He comes with diplomacy. He's coming, but he says he comes to conquer. But the Antichrist hasn't begun to do anything yet. Nothing has begun yet. We haven't even started the tribulation. In fact, he comes as a man of peace. To sign a treaty and confirm the covenant. So I'm going to present to you the revelation that this white horse is not the Antichrist. Because number one, these horses, if you study them, they're all corporate. All right? That this horse is actually a move of God. That's following from chapter 5. They're all in intercession. He's got the lambs there. He's ready to open the seal. And out comes the thundering of this white horse. And he comes forward and he's riding. He's going to conquer a bridal company of kings and priests corporately riding this horse for a season. Then he introduces the red horse and it's given to him. There's a second seal to take peace from the earth. He's a war horse. He's brought war. Then you got the horse of famine with the scales. Then you got the fourth horse. He comes forth as the pale horse. The black horse is famine. The pale horse is death and hell. He comes forth. Hell followed him. Now let's pick this up after all these horses. I want to notice something in verse 8. I want you to look at verse 8 very clearly. He's the Antichrist. He probably would have been grouped together with those other three, but he's not. Look at verse 8. And I looked, and behold, the pale horse, and his name that set upon him was death, and hell followed him. That was the fourth horse. And power was given unto them. Say them. Power was given unto them. But he only lists three of those four horses that powers, and he specifically lists them. Power was given unto them. Did not list the white horse. But he lists the function of the final three. What's what he says? Power is given unto them over a fourth part of the earth. These were destruction. These horses were death and destruction. And they were given authority over the fourth part of the earth, but the white horse wasn't mentioned here. Notice what it says. To kill with a sword. If you look at the latter part of verse 4, what happened with the red horse? And they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So to kill with a sword was the war horse. What was the other one? He said, and with hunger. That was the black horse with the scales. Wheat for a penny. Hunger. Famine. that was the black horse. And then with death, that was the pale horse. Those three horses were mentioned, but the white horse wasn't mentioned in the killing of the fourth part of the earth. If that was the Antichrist, I'd imagine they'd have bunched him up in there. Now, it's important because I'm trying to tell you that this move of God, when Christ opens this seal, out comes this white horse. He's riding and he's conquering to conquer. He's a victorious horse. He's a horse full of splendor. He's got a crown. There's a kingly anointing upon him. He's going forth. It's a bridal company of kings and priests that were prophesied in chapter 5. They were making intercession. They were saying, let's get it on, get it on. Come on, open the seal. They were looking at the move of God. They weren't looking at the judgments. They knew the judgments were coming, but those elders are wanting to see that movement. The one that's prophesied. The one that said the seven horns and the seven eyes would be released into all the earth. The one that said the seven torches would go into all the earth. It was a move of God. Of kingly authority and priestly authority, unlike anything that anybody had seen. It was that final stone that Zerubbabel saw when he saw the lampstand. It was a final testimony, a headstone, a capstone testimony to the final church. And it was embedded into that seal. And all of heaven and the remnant of the earth were in intercession to see him open that seal. We want the seal opened. I know the judgment's going to follow. I know the wrath is going to follow and death are going to follow. But I want the white horse. I want him to run. Say, run, baby. It's a movement. Unlike anything we've ever seen. Booyah. In fact, there's a major shift in dispensation between the white and the red one. Because the red one says it was given unto him power to take peace from the earth. So now you know you're in the trouble times now. But we won't leave that to this, that interpretation. Wednesday night, Sharon come up to me and the revelation was flowing. She goes, you know, this is prophesied in Zechariah chapter 10, Joel 2. I started looking at that. I'm like, wow. Let's go over to Zechariah 10. Let's look at this. Do you know this horse is mentioned there? With all the functions? This makes me excited to see a move of God embedded in the book of Revelation. Everybody's so afraid they want to run for the hills. God is not going to go out with a church that looks like it does today. There is no way that God's going to lift this church out without a full demonstration. God has reserved the best wine for the last. There's a very special anointing that's sitting upon the Lord right now. When he opens the seal, the seven horns, the operation of the seven horns and the seven eyes, the Holy Spirit's going to release through that horse. And there's going to be a bridal company of kings and priests that are going to ride that horse. And it's going to be a very swift one. And it's going to be a powerful one. And there's going to be testimony given to the world like nothing they've ever seen. And that's only the first level of testimony. That's the bridal company. It's going to shift. We're going to start talking about this week, probably Wednesday night, how it shifts into the two olive trees become two actual super witnesses. They're powerful. I have a lot to say about those guys. Amen. Right now, we're in the white horse. This is the one that's we're most concerned with right now. We want the seal opened. What's going on with the seal? He's commissioning it. This is a commissioned event. Just like the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this last outpouring is going to be a commissioned event. Because it's a different operation of the Holy Spirit. It's one reserved for the last days. It'll incorporate all of the former rain, but it's going to have a latter rain element to it. Amen? Look at Zechariah chapter 10. Let's see what kind of time frame we're in before we move in and look at this horse. Look at verse 1. He says, ask you of the Lord rain in the time of the what? Latter rain. So where are we at? Latter rain. What's latter rain? The latter rain. You had the former rain. In fact, the book of Joel said, I'm going to give you the former rain moderately. That means I'm going to give it to you in measure. That means the early church with all its power and all its glory was a moderate move of God concerning the last day move of God. Did you get that? You're going to get the former rain moderately, but the latter rain is what you're looking for. Because God reserved what? The best one for the last. God has some more rain coming. It's sitting up there with the Lamb right now. The elders are collecting the intercession. The Lamb's about to come forth and commission and open the first seal. And this white horse is going to run. Zechariah talks about him. This white horse. He doesn't, because he says, unless there's two white horses, they're going to run. Because he says there's another horse coming in the latter rain. Zechariah's about to talk about him. He's the same horse that gets commissioned in that first seal. All right? So ask the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord shall make bright clouds. Does that sound like judgment to you? Bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. There are going to be a lot of little grasses in the field get touched with this rain, going to get doused with it. He starts talking about the shepherds that are presently there in verse 2. He's not very happy with them. They're not speaking his words. They're not in alignment with him. They've gone their own way. But God's got a horse coming. Say, God's got a horse coming. Horses represent movements, corporate movements. Even in the judgment, the horses represented corporate movements. Look at verse 3. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. Ooh, I don't want to be a goat. You get labeled one of the goats, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. I mean, Barney Rubble trouble. I want to be a sheep, maybe even a ram, but not a goat. Look at this. Ready? Verse 3. For the Lord hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his what? Goodly royal horse in the battle. He's got a goodly, what do you call him? A goodly one. He didn't call him a judgment horse. There's a latter rain, majestic, goodly, royal war horse coming. And he's going to run through the land. And he's going to execute judgment and justice. He's going to be given power to conquer. He's got a crown. It's the same horse of Revelation 6. It's the latter rain horse. Oh! Strong, glorious, full of splendor. He's coming out of the house of Judah. What does that mean? Judah was the tribe of the kings. Christ came out of Judah. Caleb came out of Judah. David came out of Judah. The kings come out of Judah. Mount Hebron was in Judah. I will bring out a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. He has the tribe of Judah, spiritual tribe, the kingly tribe. The same thing as those seven horns that were resting on Christ. Holy Spirit's about to anoint a company. Coming out of the tribe of Judah, they're going to get upon that goodly war horse. He's a goodly horse. Say goodly. Powerful. He has a lot to say about him. Now he's going to like it. He says, I'm going to bring the company out of Judah. And he calls the company. See, he says, I'm going to bring a company out of Judah. Now get this. He says, it's corporate. I told you these horses are corporate. Watch this. He goes, the Lord's going to visit his flock, the house of Houston Revival Center. Did y'all read that? It's right there. I see it. The house of HRC Church and all that watch by internet. And have made them that house that he's going to pull out of Judah, those kings and those priests. And he's going to make them his goodly war horse. A company of people made into a war horse. A goodly war horse. A splendid war horse. A powerful war horse. A glorious war horse. Throw whatever you want to throw upon him. Hallelujah. But he is a latter rain goodly horse prophesied in Zechariah. It's going to get fulfilled in Revelation 6. We are most likely in the year that God's about to commission that horse. That's why the seven horns and the seven eyes were upon Christ. It just wasn't the Lamb. He had the Holy Spirit resting upon him as the kingly and the priest, you know, and the king priest government was resting upon him when he comes to open the seal, because that government's coming down upon that horse. That's to him who has ears to hear. Do you see it? Praise the Lord. He's not the Antichrist horse. It's a corporate horse. All those horses were corporate. They were global and they were corporate. They took a fourth part of the earth. This horse is going to minister to the whole world. He said the seven horns and the seven eyes were sent forth into all the earth. That anointing is going to come upon that horse. And that horse, the body of Christ, the bridal company, the last day bride, going to ride that horse. So this company he calls the goodly horse. Watch what he says about the goodly horse. He calls the company of Judah the white horse. Now watch what he says. Verse 4. Talking about Judah and this company of Judah, which was the horse. Now he's going to say some things about Judah. Okay, verse 4. This horse. Out of Judah, or just called the horse Judah, because that's what he called. He called Judah the horse, horse Judah. So out of the horse, I'm going to read it like that. Out of this white horse came forth the corner. Out of this white horse came forth the nail. Out of this white horse came forth what? The battle what? Bow? What? Did you read Revelation chapter 6? Verse 2. I saw and beheld a white horse, and him that sat upon him had a what? A bow? What? Revelation 6, read that again. No. And I saw and beheld a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a what? A bow. Wow, well this company of Judah, which he calls the horse, they have a bow. Out of this company, there's going to be a bow that's going to come forth. A battle bow. Out of him came forth the corner, the nail, the battle bow, and out of him every oppressor together. That word, every oppressor together, was talked about in the chapter verse. He said they kicked all the oppressors out. When this horse comes forth, it kicks all the oppressors out. This horse is going to execute dominion over sin, sickness, disease, poverty, debt, lack. It's going to execute dominion over the systems of this world for a season. Say a season. Don't get in your mind the body of Christ is going to take over the world. That's not going to happen. The world's going to be given over in the 7-year tribulation to the Antichrist. The Bible is very clear about that. But there's going to be a season. The body of Christ gets to testify. And we're going to get to ride a horse like no other horse in any generation. God has reserved this one for the last days. A movement that's coming out of heaven. And John foresaw it. And we're sinking up to it right now. And when you sink up to it and get your head and your spirit all synced up, then you can start making the proper intercession. And some of your intercession, you're going to get your very intercession. The ones that are synced up, the elders are collecting right now and getting ready for the Lamb is going to take the intercession of the saints and he's going to open the seal. I know this is heavy, but you better get ready, because this, you think this is heavy. Wait till the white horse starts running. We have to sync up to heavenly things now. Earthly things and earthly ministries are not going to get the job done. I don't care what it takes to get them all in a building. God is not disinterested in getting a bunch of sheep in the building. He's interested in bringing heaven down into the earth. There's not buildings that will fill up fast enough. When this comes, you're not going to find. It's going to be hard to find a building to hold everybody. When heaven synced in the early church, 3,000 born again, 5,000 born again. Revival in the streets of Jerusalem. Bam, 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 bam. That was the early rain. Moderately. God has latter-day rain. Verse 4. Out of Judah. See, the house of Judah, he made them the goodly horse. So out of Judah, out of this goodly horse. Now notice he says it came forth the corner. You know what that means? Came forth the cornerstone. But he was not an early church movement. He wasn't an early rain movement. What was he? He was a latter day movement. So it wasn't the foundation cornerstone. It was the chief cornerstone. It was the one set, the final stone, the one that Zerubbabel was talking about. The headstone, the lamp that became the seven torches, that became the seven horns and the seven eyes. That was resting on Christ that got released on the earth through this white horse.
Thank you.
That one. The one with kingly authority to it. How you know that? That's about Joel 2:23, also the moderate rain right there. That was moderate. We are not going to experience moderate rain. We are going to experience a windfall, torrential rain. I mean, just barrel down on the world. Amen. Go to Psalm 118 real quick. Keep your finger in Zechariah 10. Psalm 118 verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become what? The headstone. This is not the foundation stone. It says this is the Lord's work and it's marvelous in our eyes. What? It's the Lord's work. Why? Because he's the one that's going to bring it to pass. He's the one that's going to commission it. Out of this white horse becomes this corner. He becomes this corner. This white horse fulfills the mandate of the corner headstone. That's what he's saying. You see that? And he said, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice. It's not a day of gloominess and black clouds. It's a day to rejoice. God's going to go out with light. Arise, shine, thy light is come. The glory is risen upon the earth. Gross darkness will fill the earth. But the glory of God's going to rise upon you. Get out of that end time hide in a cave mentality. There's going to be a victorious bride riding a very victorious horse before we get lifted out. God has not lost his touch. Get out of the fear of the last days. Jump in with the elders that are rejoicing and singing a song. They weren't going, whoa, the earth is going to leave. They were singing the song because they saw the white horse is going to get released. And every single one of them would gladly trade places with you. To be able to ride that horse. In a heartbeat. Verse 25. Save now, O Lord. I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. It's going to be a time. That's going to get fulfilled. Haggai 2. Prophecy to Zerubbabel. Once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth. The sea and the dry lands. And the treasures of all nations will come into my house. For the silver is mine, the gold is mine, the glory of the latter day house and the latter rain with a white horse. The glory of the latter day house will be greater than the former. I've given you the former rain moderately. But the latter day, there's going to be great, great transference of wealth. God's going to raise a company of Josephs up in the last hour. He's going to take his people. He's going to take the weak things of the world and confound the wise. He's got a million ways he can do it. He can wake you up tomorrow with the very next technology that's going to change the world. Then have somebody call you. God can do anything with anybody. It's the bridal company that's in the seven horns. That's the kingly authority that's coming down on this white horse. He's going to bring forth this headstone. This headstone is not like the foundation stone. They were there to lay the foundation. They were an overcoming church, the headstone. Not only they're overcoming, but they are victorious over sin, sickness, disease, poverty, debt, lack, and the systems of this world. For a season, the bridal company, the kings and priests are going to ride victoriously across the land. And that is just about to happen. The Lord's going to commission it. He's syncing the prayers up right now. He's syncing his word. He's syncing the prayers and he's syncing his people up right now. Because heaven and earth are getting synced together. Okay, go back to Zechariah. Praise the Lord, not good. So he's going to bring forth the corner. This horse is going to establish the final cornerstone is what he's saying. Exactly what's said in the book of Revelation. The lampstand's coming forth. The prophecy of Zerubbabel is going to bring forth a headstone. He's saying it right here. He's going to bring forth that head cornerstone, the final one, the latter day rain one. I think I've made my point. Continue. Now notice what he says here. Verse 4, again, out of Judah, or out of this horse, this goodly war horse, splendid battle horse, glorious horse, came forth the corner. We know it came forth the battle bow, because he had the battle bow in Revelation 2. But notice what it says, he came forth the nail. Say the nail. Every scholar absolutely agrees what the nail means. It comes right out of Isaiah 22. How many of you are familiar with Isaiah 22? That's when God takes Shebna. He's the treasurer of the whole house of Judah. And he fires him. He says, I'm committing your robe and your government. I'm committing your government to another, to an Eliakim. I'm going to give your government, the government, your treasury government, your operation, your office. See, it was a shift in treasuries. There's a shifting in the pen. There's a shifting in authority. God's going to take the ones that didn't get the job done right, and he's going to fire them. And he's going to put it in the hands of a new breed called the Eliakims. Now, I want you to go over to Isaiah 22 just for a minute. Because out of this white horse is coming forth the nail. There's a shift in government from Shebna to Eliakims. He's going to bring forth a headstone. He's got a battle bow in his hand, and he's going to cause the treasury shift. Why? Because there's seven horns upon this thing. It has the perfection of a kingly anointing. There's going to be a wild transference. It comes by way of this horse. And there's going to be a power. That's why I said, worthy is the land to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Those seven inheritances are going to release through this white horse. I don't know about you, but I get excited about this, especially because we're right in the season of it. Are you prophesying the second coming of the Lord? No, I'm prophesying the second coming of the Holy Ghost. I don't know when the Lord's going to show up. I don't know how long that horse has to run. He has to run for a season before all the judgment starts. He gets to run victorious. The world, there's going to be a mass harvest that comes by way of the bridal company of kings and priests. And that's only the first testimony. And then when the judgment begins, God begins the next level of testimony. And he brings another level of testimony after that. God's going to reach all the way down, even to the seventh year of that tribulation time. Reaching down with mercy to him who has ears to hear. If you want to learn about that, we're going to be teaching it. So this would be a good place to hang out. Amen? Okay, Isaiah 22, for sake of time. Hallelujah. So he fires Shebna, verse 19, and I will drive thee from thy station. From the state shall he pull thee down, and it come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I'll clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government to what? His hand. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And the key, look at that, the key of David's going to be given to the Eliakims to open, and no man can shut. The white horse is bringing the key of David with it. Is that awesome? He shall open and none shall shut, in the verse 23, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. That was the nail. I'm going to hang the government on this nail. This horse is going to establish that final nail, and I'm going to hang the treasury government upon that nail, because it's going to have kingly authority running with it. It's going to have everything the early church had and more. We live in a glorious day. Amen. Go back to Zechariah 10 and we'll close, maybe. Has a lot to say about the kingly authority of this horse. Why? Because the seven horns were on it. Zechariah 10, verse 5. Still talking about the horse. And they, that company that came out of Judah, which became that horse, they shall be as mighty men, you did good, Sharon, which tread down their enemies, sin, sickness, disease, poverty, debt, lack, systems of this world, and the mire of the streets of the battle, and they shall fight. because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. Notice that. Still talking about horses. Those are the riders of the earthly horses, the earthly systems of the world. They're going to be confounded when this white horse shows up. He's going to take the weak things and confound the wise. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them again to place them. Notice the two houses he talks about. Judah, kingly house. Joseph, kingly house. Both of those houses are riding that horse. We are in line. Now here's your homework. Psalm 45. The king rides prosperously in splendor and glory, and he comes out riding prosperously. Oh, ride prosperously in thy majesty. He goes in the queen, the bridal company of saints. The bride's going to stand at your side with a gold of Ophir. She's going to stand there in the last days as you ride that white horse. She's going to be right there with you. God must have his bride. There's a reason why the depths of this are coming out. He wants us to sink. Because one of our callings, we've been carrying it for 25 years now. That lampstand, the birth, that. To sink with heaven with intercession. To sink with heaven in understanding. To hold and keep his word. To bring forth the incense. Part of our calling is the offering up of that incense. That they're collecting right now. God is collecting the prayers. The elders are collecting them in bowls of gold. There was a gold bowl in Zechariah 4's candlestick with the golden oil. There was mixing in that bowl. Anyway, Jesus is about to open that first seal. That is not a judgment seal. That is a victorious seal. And that horse is going to ride with all of the splendor, all of the authority, the seven horns and the seven eyes, when the Lord commissions, comes down upon that horse. The operation of the king, priest, government, I don't know other way to say it. When it comes down, we are going to ride like we've never rode before. Tommy Hicks had a vision. How many of you ever heard of his vision? The sleeping giant rose up in this like silver, liquid silver filled. And he rose up and he broke out on all the earth, and there was a revival. And he saw kids, children, grandparents. They would just stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and the glory of God would fall. It was a nameless, faceless company of people. But there was such glory and power wherever they showed up in every nation. They would just show up, and they didn't even have to preach a sermon. They would just say, "Thus saith the Lord." And before they could even say "Lord," the glory would fall. Whole crowds would be dismantled. That's our generation. That's the white horse. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for this glorious war horse, this goodly war horse. Thank you for the opportunity to live in this generation. Thank you for the opportunity to see these things now, to be in sync with heaven. Not everyone has the ears to hear, but those who do, Father, will sync up. They're going to sync up, Father. We sync up to heaven right now. We sync into the plans, and we offer our intercession for the opening of the seals. You're the only one, Lord, worthy to commission this horse. You're the only one worthy to send him forth. You're the only one worthy to open the seal for the releasing of this latter rain, goodly war horse. The glorious white horse with a bow and a crown, running victorious in the land. Saturate us. Sink us up, Lord. In your wonderful, mighty name. Amen. Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah.
Well, there was a lady at the grocery store, and I told her about the website, and I wrote it down for her, and I saw her at the grocery store Friday, and she saw me, and she came running up to me. She goes, "I downloaded all that stuff. I just downloaded it." And then she looks at me, and she had tears in her eyes, and she says, "Why? why do they give it away for free? Why? And I said, because the Lord loves you and he wants you to be in his kingdom.
Oh, isn't that glorious?
I had a dream last night, and Rosalinda here was in it, so I just wanted to share it. Me and Rosalinda were going down the highway. And all of a sudden, up ahead of us, I saw a big opening in the sky, and it was real colorful. And I'm like, Rosalinda, look, there's a portal right there. And so we drove fast to get up to the portal, and I looked up into the portal, and it was like I was looking into heaven, because there was all this activity around me behind these two, I don't know if they were angels, people, but they were like looking down at us. And they were like making all these hand signals, and me and her both looking at them like trying to get the signal, you know. And so what I discerned from that was that they were showing us that now is the time. These are the times. So read the times, the signs of the times right now, and discern it.
And get synced.
So we were actually recorded it. We were like recording this, and we went back to the house, and we were trying to translate what all these hand sign movements they were doing to us. And so that's
awesome. And then praise the Lord. Syncing us up with the signs of the time. The Bible is going to always proceed with this word. It's not what we think it is. The Bible will tell us what's happening. Sharon, then Anna too. Anna?
I was just going to explain.
Doesn't she look beautiful? I told her that day. I said, girl, the younger you get, the hotter you get. Anyway, keep going.
Okay, synchronize. Listen to this. Happening, moving, or existing at the same time. To cause things to agree in time, or to make things happen at the same time and speed. So there's such a converging of all of these things that are happening. That synchronization. We're syncing with the Lord. We're syncing with the Word. We're coming in agreement with the Word. And it's a mighty, awesome move that we all get to be a part of.
Isn't that good?
Hallelujah.
Wow. Convergence, holy convergence.
I had just a couple of things I wanted to share. First of all, in Zechariah 9, it starts with the Lord God King, and he's returning back from Zion. But he starts with saying, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion, shout and trumpet, daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous, victorious, humble, and riding on a donkey. So he came the first time as a servant, riding on a donkey. But he's coming back as a king, and he's riding a proud, majestic war horse, which is us. And I had just a couple things I wanted to point out about the war horse, just very briefly. First of all, a war horse, we are the horse. He is the rider. A war horse in battle is one that's in perfect synchronization with its master. At just the slightest touch, he will move either to the right, slightest touch, he'll move to the left. There's such a oneness and a trust that that horse has with its rider. And that's where God is taking us. And then I wanted to point out the reason why he spoke of the body, us being a war horse. And I want to read to you from Job 39:19. And it says, do you give strength to a horse? Do you adorn his neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like a locust? His proud snorting fills one with terror. Now this is us. He paws in the valley. He rejoices in his strength. He charges into battle. He laughs at fear since he is afraid of nothing. We are going through these end days afraid of nothing. He does not run from the sword. He's not afraid of it. A quiver rattles at his side. And along with the flashing spear and a lance, he charges ahead with trembling rage. He cannot stand still at the trumpet sound. When the trumpet blasts, he snorts defiantly. He smells the battle from a distance. He hears the officer's shouts and commands. And the battle cry. We are returning as a victorious bride. And just as the Lord had to take the Israelites from slaveship to sonship, from slaves to warriors in the desert, And in order to be able to take the promised land as warriors, he had to train them to be warriors. We're in training to be warriors, and we are part of God's kingdom and God's army. May he ride victoriously in mighty name of Jesus.
Isn't that glorious? You know, when the Spirit's moving, everybody's going to start coming up in here.
Glory be to God. I witnessed January the 11th. It was a Sunday. We were here, and Pastor was there. We were just full of glory. This is January 11th. I see the High Rider riding the landscape of the earth, which is the beginning foundations. He is riding on a master rider filled with glory, moving at the speed of light, releasing his essence. The High Rider is riding across your landscape.
Wow. Isn't that glorious?